How about that? Okay. This is the second Sunday. Let me go ahead and go to our message. Last week was the first Sunday of Advent, and we spoke about Jesus, our living hope, right? So I have a verse for you, and then we're going to go to the second Sunday of Advent. We have fixed our hope on the living God. Now remember, when it's the New Testament, unless it says God the Father, it's Jesus, right? It's always Jesus. So Paul writes to Timothy, this young man, young like some of you, we have fixed our hope. What a wonderful word. Fix means almost as if to get a those of you that use nails and hammers. It's almost as if you've gotten a stake or something like that, and you just hammer it in. We have fixed our hope. And we have to do that, don't we, in life these days, in the world these days, because there are so many things that try to knock our attention off of the most important things, and that try to knock our attention off our living hope in God, in Jesus. Our hope on the living God, the living God. And that's so encouraging for us, because so many people think about church, they think about Jesus, they think about Christianity, and they look back and it's like this old, dusty thing for old people, you know? Not for now, for old people. But this says on the living God, He is presently living. Let me pause just a minute. We've got some technical things. Ying, if you need to translate, if you just need to sit next to and translate somewhere, that's okay also. Do whatever you need to do, because we want his mom and his auntie to hear about the living hope and the peace that is ours this morning. Amen? So don't worry about, they're working out some things in the back. They're getting it fixed up. That's okay. The living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly of all believers. What a wonderful verse for Jesus, our living hope. But this is the second Sunday of Advent. And so this morning, you heard Moses and Stephen read in English and Chinese from Isaiah 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. How can there be such a wonderful thing, brothers and sisters? Is this picture a very emotive picture that shows people who have, they're walking in darkness. There's no way to find their way. And Isaiah prophesies, they have seen a great light. Who is that great light? It's Jesus, the morning star who has risen. So that's how we began this morning. And then we go to verse 6 and it says, for unto us a child is born. And we're going to talk about that this morning as well as we talk about Jesus, our peace. And don't worry if I'm coughing. We'll keep on going. We'll get through this. I think this Sunday morning, as we talk about Jesus, our peace, on this second Advent, it's especially and particularly appropriate because we live in a world and in a society where there is very little peace. I thought, well, let me look up some statistics. And honestly, I got so depressed and discouraged looking up statistics. Like, how many wars are there in the world because Jesus, our peace? And I found out that there are more countries at war now than at any time since World War II, this very moment. That does not include conflicts. That does not include other unrest or other things that are going on. I found a few other things. Do you know that in the U.S., that's where it was easy for me to get statistics, approximately 20% of people suffer from anxiety disorders. Can you imagine what that's like? No peace, no peace. Almost 10%, U.S. statistic, use medication daily just to be able to sleep. And we know that there are physical causes at times, but there's so many other things as well. In the UK, that was the other place I could, I found something, some more statistics. 60% of UK adults say that they drink alcohol every day to cope with stress. And that's an astonishing number, isn't it? 60%, just to deal with this pressure that they're feeling. And anyhow, and I could go on, but there's no need to keep on going on that way because we have a different answer, don't we? And so we live in a world where there is not a lot of peace, and yet peace is something that people long for. And as we have talked about in the last couple months or so, peace is one of the gifts that Jesus gives us that the devil most desires to steal from us. Is that not true? Absolutely. All of us at various levels, we deal with that at times. And that's one of the things that the enemy targets. He will steal our peace if he can. So we're going to look at some things today. And I'm going to ask you a few questions. And then we're going to move forward Old Testament and New Testament. How many of you in the churches that you've been part of? Now, Lighthouse, we don't do this very much. But without looking at your Bibles, how many of you have been part of a church where you often have a benediction at the end? And remember what somebody will stand and say? Yeah, Penina says yes, yes, yes. Okay, Penina, you tell us what is usually said. Okay, and then I'll repeat because she doesn't have a microphone. Oh, we're getting, okay, great. She's got a microphone. Okay, so Penina doesn't even need to look at anything. She already knows. Go ahead, Penina, tell us. Okay.
Maybe the peace of God and the...
She's been out of that church a long time.
Years.
The peace of God and the fellowship of
the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Mm. And the...
Something, something.
Of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore.
Okay, okay. Now, so those of you that don't know, Penina comes from an Anglican church background, okay, a more traditional church background. Okay, so that's one of the benedictions. Can you think of another benediction? Okay, Kim, stand up. Microphone.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord shine his face upon you and
be gracious to you.
The Lord give his covenant to you and give you peace.
And give you peace. That's right. So, where does it come from? This is probably one of the most common ones. I want you to look at something as we talk about peace this morning. Here's the one. It's very common. The Lord. It's actually really beautiful. Maybe we should be doing that more at Lighthouse, right? It's a wonderful blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. I want us to see something this morning, especially those of you that are from a more traditional church background. Where did this come from? Look at what God says to Aaron, who was the high priest, right? And so in that day, that's all the way back in the book of Numbers. We think of, oh, the peace of the Lord, and we think of Jesus, who is our Prince of Peace. But what I want us to see this morning is from the very beginning all the way to now, our God is a God of peace. Look at how, think about this if you have not before, because you and I, if we've been a traditional church, you have gotten very used to hearing the Lord bless you and keep you and the Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace without realizing that this was the command of God the Father to Aaron and his sons. They were the ones who brought the word of God to God's people. And it was so important that God wanted his people to know and to hear, I give you peace. I give you peace. Next time you hear that, think of that. It's not something made up by churches. It's not something made up by people. This is the blessing of God upon his people. This is the blessing of God upon you as well. Now let's move forward a little bit, and I just want to share this one because this one is such a good one. Very simple. Psalm 29:11. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Peace is a blessing of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, peace is a birthright of the child of God. And this morning, if you are God's child, you have the right to have the peace of God in your heart and in your life, covering your mind, surrounding you, protecting you from the enemy's arrows of worry and doubt and fear, or even from the voice that sounds like your own. You have the privilege and the right and the blessing of God's peace upon you. If we move forward to the New Testament, I think it's the first sermon that's recorded after the day of Pentecost. And it's when Peter was preaching to Cornelius and his house. We don't know how many, but it would have been a lot of people. Look at the message that Peter gives. You would think he might talk about something else, but look how Peter starts. Look with me. Peter starts talking to these people who don't know God, right? And he says, you know the message that God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. And that's so encouraging, because if you stop at the first part of the verse, it sounds like this message of peace is just for the Jews. It's just for a select few. But he immediately goes on to say, Jesus Christ, who's the Lord of all, as we're going to see this morning as we go further. So we're going to look for a little while this morning at peace and what it means as Jesus has come to us as the Prince of Peace. And let's start back there first, okay? You've already heard part of this morning, the promise and the prophecy of peace. Actually, in the Bible, promise and prophecy can be the same thing. Because if God says it, it will be. If God promises it, he will do. He will do. This is God. So let's go back this morning. We've already heard part of it. And let's begin in Isaiah 9. This was written, I think Isaiah was wrote about 700 years before Jesus came. Okay? So 700 years. That's a long time to wait for a promise, isn't it? How many of you have been waiting a long time for a promise that God has given you? Yeah? Don't give up, Sister Lisa. Don't stop. Don't stop, Juvie. God's timing is always perfect, right? Let's look at this together very quickly. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. Here's this huge thing, right? It's this great promise. Here are people who've had no hope, and when it says walking in darkness, what it means is their lives. I've told you before about this young, I'm sorry, she's not that young anymore, young to me. You know, I climb the mountain almost every day, and I have become friends with a Chinese woman who hikes every day, and she hikes about 3 or 4 hours every single day. And I found out that really one of the reasons she hikes 3 or 4 hours every day is because her life has been so miserable. it has been. And as I, she doesn't speak any English at all. And at first I thought, oh, she's Cantonese speaking. And, you know, my Cantonese is so bad, la. You know, it's really bad. And so then one day so I was trying Cantonese. And then I switched to Mandarin. And, oh, she was excited. And that's when I found out that actually she was from China. And she was from a very, very small village. And she said, we were desperately poor. Well, she didn't use the word desperately, but that's what she meant. She said, we were so poor. So there was no electricity in our village. There was seldom meat to eat. Nobody had any sort of indoor plumbing at all. The floors in the homes were packed dirt, right? Packed mud. Those of us who've been in China in more remote areas, we know that very well, right? And she said they had to work. Her father was a farmer. There was no store that they would go to buy things. They would just make everything themselves. And then she talked more and more about her family, not in the beginning. And then I found out that that a family member was abusive to her, but was constantly abusive. I mean, constantly, all the time. And as she talked about it later, I told her, I said, you know, I said, I think probably your mother had difficulties herself. And she said, yeah, I know. And she just, I don't know that she'll ever meet her. I'm okay to share this. And I'm coming to make a point. And she said, the mother, there were three of them, and the mother would just, every day, would just beat them. I mean, every single day would beat them. And I said, well, what about your father? And she said, he would just stand on the side and he would just cry. And she would beat him too. And then when she was about 16, she ran away from home because she couldn't take it anymore. And she went to a larger city. And there in a larger city, she met a much, much older Hong Kong man. And he said, I will take care of you. And so he did for a while. But then after a while, sorry, is that my earring? It may be. Wait just a minute. But then after a while, she said that one day a woman showed up at her door, very pregnant, and she said, I just think you should know that your husband is the father of this child. And then later on, there was another woman as well. So as I was talking with her, and I had started sharing with her about Jesus, she said one thing that touched my heart and broke my heart. And she said this. She said, and she's now in her 50s, she said, I feel that all my life has been darkness. And she was speaking Chinese, and she used the expression, hei an, right? Hei an, all my life has been darkness. And so I've been trying to just talk with her and share with her. But as we look at this morning, I think all of us, have been around people or are around people now whose lives feel like they have lived in darkness all their lives, right? And this morning as we talk about Jesus, our Prince of Peace, the light that has arisen and is shining in darkness, not just for us, but for others. This is not in my notes, but let me just go ahead and say it right now. What is, John the Baptist came, I'm sorry, I know I'm making noise, something's rubbing, but we'll do the best we can. John the Baptist came to prepare the way for Jesus, right? But John the Baptist is dead and gone, and he's in heaven. Who prepares the way for Jesus now? Who helps to make the road ready so that the light can shine on other people who are living in darkness? There's no one else but you. There's no one else but you. There's no one else but me. There really is. In the Old Testament, it says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. If I were to ask you, what is your best feature, what would you say? My nose? No, not my nose. My hair or Well, you know, I kind of like my profile or this or that. May I say to you this morning that Jesus says, your best feature, it's your feet. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, the message of peace, the message of peace. And so as we look at this, and so I'm praying for this lady, and I'm waiting until I get better so I can introduce her to Mom, because she's really a Cantonese speaker, and I know that Mom can really, really testify to her. And as I was sharing with you, you know, she told me, she said for a while, she said, I wanted to die. She's on her own now. She said, I just wanted to die. She said, I didn't want to live anymore. And so the time came for a while, for quite a few years, when she said, I was drinking 2 bottles of wine a day. Why? Just to have some peace, right? Just to have some peace. And I think when we look at people around us who, you know, maybe we look at their lifestyles and we think, oh, they're so bad, right? They're so this or they're so that. It may be that they are walking in darkness and they need to see the light of Jesus, the Prince of Peace who has come. And so here's this promise and this prophecy that comes 700 years before Jesus comes. And then it says, for you will break the yoke of their slavery, lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You'll break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian, the boot of the warrior, the uniforms bloodstained by war. They will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. Brothers and sisters, when the Prince of Peace comes, these broken parts of your life, when you let him come, because we're children of God this morning, when he comes into our lives, the purpose of Jesus, one of the purposes of Jesus in your life is to do away forever. Even if you still have memories of past that were painful, he enters your life in part, in large part, to do away with these things that broke you, that have burdened you, that have made your life dark, that continue to cause pain. Even if it's no longer happening, you're still carrying the pain in your heart. And the Word of God shows us right here, 700 years before Jesus comes, one of the things Jesus wants to do when he comes into our lives is to, these things, the boots of the warrior, the uniforms bloodstained by war, they'll be fuel for the fire. It's over and it's done with. Even if it comes back to your memory, it will no longer burden you. It will no longer cause you pain. It will no longer give you a heavy heart, because the Prince of Peace has come and he has risen and he has shined his light into your lives. Amen? Amen. 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 So here are all these incredible things, these great promises, these things that God is going to do. And then look at how it comes. And you already know this, these verses so well. These great, mighty, mighty things that God is going to do will come to you and to me through a child that's born, a son that's given. The government will be on his shoulders. The shoulders in the Bible symbolize burden bearing. Yeah? They symbolize burden bearing. And so these things, because government's responsible for a lot of things in our lives, traditionally, in society. And what God promises in his word is all of these burdens, these big ones, Jesus carries them on his shoulders. You don't have to carry them on yours. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And then what does it say? The Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. Some of you this morning who struggle at times with God, and some of you do, you have an idea of God is hard, God is angry, God is difficult to please. I want you to see something in these very simple words here. God chose to bring peace to us through a baby. Through a baby. How intimidating is a baby? Well, some of you might be intimidated. You might say, I don't know how to hold babies. Okay, what if I'm holding them the wrong way or whatever? But babies aren't intimidating, are they? And that's how God chose to enter this world and to bring his promises into this world. Now, let's look a little bit further, because I really want to get all the way through this message this morning. The promise and the prophecy. I am so sorry. What keeps on? Are you okay with it?
It's fine.
All right. Okay. The promise and the prophecy fulfilled. We know this so well. Look at it. The shepherds are out in the field. The angel of the Lord appears. The glory of the Lord shines around them. They're really afraid. You and I would probably be afraid also. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I like this so much. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Pause on that just a minute and receive this morning. Some of you feel the good news of Jesus maybe is not really for me because my life is a mess. I shared this a little bit last night at Forge. The good news of salvation, the good news of God's peace and grace is not really so much for me because I don't have things together in my life, or I've kind of blown things, or I'm struggling with this, or my life is so imperfect. And that is not the message that God sent, through the angel. What is the message? Good news of great joy for all the people. By the way, I doubt that the angel created the message. Angels are only messengers. They take the message that is given them and they share the message. Amen? That's right. And that's why if you are speaking to people or leading or this or that, you and I are also only messengers. We're only messengers. If I come to people, if I stand up and I do this and that with what's coming from me, I'm not speaking for God. I'm speaking for Jennifer. And so I have to make sure, God, what's your message? You know what? You have to make sure, God, what's your message through me? And that comes when you and I spend time with God and we hear from him and the Holy Spirit speaking. See, we're messengers. You think, oh, well, Pastor Jen, you're a messenger because, you know, you're on the stage. You will give a message to people every single day. People I will never meet, people I will never talk to, people I will not know, but you will, and you need his message. So the angel gives this message, and he says, it's good news, and it's for all the people, and he says, a Savior's been born, Christ the Lord. Here's the sign, a baby wrapped in cloth. So here's the fulfillment, which we know very well. God's keeping his promise. God's fulfilling prophecy. If God has promised you something in your life and you know God has spoken to you and it has not yet come to pass, don't you give up on God. Don't you give up on his word. You fix your eyes on the living God. You hold on. You keep praying. And at just the right time, at God's time, he will make it come to pass. He will fulfill. And so it's big amen. There are all sorts of things we could say here. And then what happens next? Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel. I've told you before that I think that angel's Gabriel. I really do. I don't know why God didn't name that angel. I'm pretty sure it was because he's sort of the Christmas angel, right? He's bringing all the messages. Maybe I'm going to get to heaven and I'm going to find out. God's going to say, Jennifer, it wasn't Gabriel. It was, you know, who knows? Who knows? But obviously, it's not super important, right, that we know the name of that angel. You know what is important? That you are an angel. An angel means messenger each day where you go. Amen? So what do they sing? It's still the word of God, the message of God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. So we're talking about peace this morning. And as I shared last night, look at verse 14. Verse 14 used to bother me. Did it ever bother any of you? Or I'm just weak in my faith? on whom his favor rests. I used to struggle with, but I don't know if the favor of God rests on me or not. Have you ever felt that or thought that, Kathleen? Yes? Yeah, thank you. Kathleen and I are in the same boat together. Maybe the favor of God doesn't really rest on me because I'm, you know, my life's kind of a mess. I haven't gotten things worked out yet. And I think a lot of us struggle with that. But here's the message from the angels. And the angels have already said that the angel, the Christmas angel, says good news that will be for all the people. So it's for everyone. It's for everyone. It's not just for a few of us. It's not for those of us that are real religious. It's not for those of us that are extra good or give a lot of money or this or that. It's good news for all the people. And then he says, peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests. Now, Jesus is a baby at this point, okay? Here comes the message from the angels. Fast forward 30-ish years. Jesus begins his ministry. Remember that? Jesus goes into the synagogue. He takes the scroll that is, and it's from which book of the Old Testament? Isaiah, who's one of the great prophets of Jesus, right? And look at what Jesus says. Luke 4, we're still talking about the Prince of Peace. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. This is Jesus reading the words of prophecy 700 years earlier that Jesus knows is about him because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Doesn't that sound like light shining in darkness? He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Doesn't that sound like light shining on those who've walked in darkness? And recovery of sight for the blind. Mom says a big amen to that one, right? To release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So Jesus stands and he says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now remember what we just read 30 years earlier, the message of the angels, the praise of the angels, peace to those on whom his favor rests. And then 30 years later, Jesus begins his ministry and he says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then Jesus applies it. Jesus always applies truth. And what does he say? Everybody's looking at him. He, you know, I think the atmosphere must have been electric at that moment in the synagogue. Really, just electric. And Jesus begins by saying what? Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Brothers and sisters, you need to know that when Jesus said, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. This is a year of the Lord's favor. Jesus still means now. When Jesus says, I have come to... That's next. Okay. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. That's now. When he says, to recovery of sight for the blind, that's now. Freedom for prisoners. If you are bound, if you're in bondage this morning by things of the past, by memories, by depression, by anxiety, by any of these things, you need to know that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, has come. And he says, the year of the Lord's favor, it's now. It's now. As we're going to see in just a minute, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, so many people did not recognize that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, had come. And they missed it. And they missed it. My concern is not with 2,000 years ago, with people who missed Jesus the first time. My concern is that now we're missing Jesus, the Prince of Peace, in our lives. And if you are struggling or battling or dealing with any of these areas this morning in your lives, the Prince of Peace has come. He is here now. And he says, it's the year of the Lord's favor. So if you are believing the lie of the enemy who says to you, God's angry with you, you're not good enough, try harder, do better, let it go, and let the peace of the Lord fill your heart and your life. You see, the peace of the Lord, it's not just, oh, I feel better. I'm at, you know, like it says from Kung Fu Panda, inner peace, inner peace. We all remember that part, right? Inner peace. And then Kung Fu Panda messes him up because so there's no inner peace or whatever. That's not, you've all seen that movie. That's not the peace that's here. In the Bible, when the Prince of Peace, when it talks about the peace of God, do you know what that peace is? It's comprehensive. It's complete. It's body, soul, spirit. It's mental. It's emotional. It's spiritual. It's physical. All of these areas. That's what the peace of God means. And Jesus says, it is fulfilled now. And so we look at this. I'm going to skip some scriptures because I want us to get to the end. So as I just said, my concern is that we miss that the Prince of Peace is with us now. Amen? That was a lot pitiful, but anyhow, that's still my concern. Let's move forward. Jesus has said, this is fulfilled today in your hearing. About 3 years pass, and Jesus comes into Jerusalem during the Passion Week, right? And he's going to be crucified just a few days later. Now, you say, what does that have to do with peace? Let's look at it very quickly this morning. Jesus tells his disciples, you remember this part. He says, I give you, I'm not going to read it, just look at it. My peace I give to you. I don't give it to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled or fearful. So Jesus is giving us a different type of peace. Do you know why you need to know that this morning and why you need to hold on to it? You and I judge peace, and God does work externally. He does. He works externally. But the peace of God, his kingdom of peace, comes first in our hearts and in our lives, internally. I know Christians who are upset and angry all the time because they're trying to change the world around them. They're trying to make things happen. There's nothing wrong with that. There's not. Because Christians have changed the world. They have. But if that is your primary, that's what you're doing, you miss where Jesus came to work. And that was, first of all, the kingdom of our hearts. And you say, are you sure about that? I'm sure about that. Look at this. This is when he comes into Jerusalem. And what does he say? What happens, first of all, we already know. And he says, they brought the donkey to Jesus. And then he goes into the city. Okay, they're shouting. He's coming down from the Mount of Olives. They're praising God with a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. And then look what happens. What is the specific message? Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Now, here's something that a lot of people miss. Jesus comes into the city and they say, the King, right? But let me ask you, King and conqueror, how does Jesus come into the city? At that time, how would kings enter a city? You tell me. What would they ride on? Thank you. They'd be riding on a horse. They'd be riding, perhaps it would be white. It would be mighty. It would be great. It would be the most magnificent stallion or something like that. But Jesus is a different type of ruler. And how does he come into the city? He comes into the city on a donkey. Who's afraid of a donkey? Well, donkeys bite sometimes. If you've never been around donkeys, they bite sometimes. But the picture that we have coming in on a donkey, even though they're saying the King, reminds us again that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he's a different type of peace. In a way, almost like the baby that came the first time, right? He's coming in on a donkey. Now, just in case you're not sure about that, guess what? Zechariah, another Old Testament prophet, talked about exactly that day, okay? And he says, Zechariah says, rejoice greatly, see your King comes to you, righteous, and he's bearing, he has salvation with him, gentle, and riding on a donkey. Do you know what? when Zechariah writes this, and then look at the next verse, just in case you're not sure of the message that God wants you to get. Look at what it says in the very next verse. God says, I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He, Jesus, will proclaim peace to the nations. Just in case you missed Jesus, the coming of Jesus into the city, he came in peace, not in conquering the world's systems or the world's powers. And that's how Jesus still comes. Now we come to a close this morning, and I want you to look at this. This was 500 years before the prophecy was 500 years before Jesus came. Okay, Isaiah was 700 years. Zechariah was 500 years. Okay, and Jesus comes on into the city. People are praising him and worshiping him and proclaiming his glory. What does Jesus do at that moment? And here's the application, one of the applications for you and for me this morning. Take a look at this. Wouldn't this be a time of great joy? But what does it say? As Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he began to weep over it. This word weep, there are only two times in the New Testament that it is recorded that Jesus ever wept. Okay? Do you remember the first one? That's right. At the tomb of Lazarus. And in that first one, it was a silent, the word that's used, okay? In the Greek, it was a silent crying. That is not the word that's here. Do you know what this word means here? It's a different word from the Lazarus situation. In this word, it means Jesus burst out in loud tears, loud crying. Why does he weep over the city? Here he comes. Okay, why is he crying then? And what does this mean for you and for me? He said over the city, if you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from you. He was coming into the city and Jerusalem. Some of them were like, oh, the King of Kings. But Jesus knew that in a few days, the whole city, basically the whole city, except for a small handful, would turn against him. And they would not recognize that he was the one who brought peace. Those of you who love history, we won't go into it. But Jesus goes on to prophesy what's going to happen. 40 years later, what Jesus says here happened exactly as Jesus said. The Romans came to the city. They surrounded the city. The city went into famine. People were thrown from the walls of the city. The city was destroyed and all the stones were turned one from another because they did not recognize the day of the visitation of the Lord. Now, I'm not going to end with that because that's a really somber and a sad note on which to end. But I want to tell you this. If you go back and look at Daniel, I think it's Daniel 9:11. I think that's it. I don't think I put it in there. Nope, I didn't. So it's in Daniel chapter 9. Do you know what? Daniel 483 years earlier, to the day, listen, to the day, prophesied that the Messiah would enter the city. To the day. And in comes Jesus in answer to that prophecy, the promise of God fulfilled, the peace of God entering the city of peace. And they do not recognize it. No wonder Jesus wept. So my question to you and to me this morning is this. Do you and I recognize the coming of the Prince of Peace in our lives? Do you and I open our hearts? Do you and I make way for the Prince of Peace? Do you and I welcome him into that hard area of our lives that give us pain, where we struggle to forgive someone who has hurt us, where there is bitterness that's just like a ball that just gets, and it poisons us at times, or memories that we can't let go of, or depression that clouds us? Do you recognize that the Prince of Peace has come? On the first Sunday of the year, we're going to have communion, and we're still going to be talking about peace, because you know what Isaiah says? He took our suffering, our weakness, all these things that you and I struggle with. And what does it say? It says he carried our sorrows for us. Brothers and sisters, no joke, I really mean it. Some of you this morning are carrying sorrow. You're carrying sorrow. Why are you carrying sorrow when the one who takes the whole government upon his shoulders has chosen to carry our sorrow for us so that we don't have to? Do you recognize that the Prince of Peace has come among you? He was wounded for the wrong we did. He was crushed for the evil we did. The punishment, the punishment that brought us peace was given to him, and we are healed because of his wounds. We're healed because of his wounds. So here is Jesus with the offer of peace, and with Jesus himself, the Prince of Peace. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it great? It is great. But you know what? What good does Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and the offer of the Prince of Peace do for you and for me if we don't welcome him, if we don't receive him, if we don't let him come in and bring peace in every area of our lives? I really mean that. Body, soul, spirit, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all of these ways. This is why Jesus has come. There's more, but we're going to stop there. The Prince of Peace is here. So I'm going to pray for us this morning. I'm going to invite you to pray. We'll have just a few announcements real quickly at the end. But someone get ready to play. Whoever, Chris is me. Yes. But Chris, you just start playing anytime. But we're going to pray first. Amen. Let's just pray. And I invite you to open your heart again this morning to the Prince of Peace in every area of your life. Amen? Let's pray. You pray while I pray for you. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the Prince of Peace that has come. Jesus, we do not want to be like the people of Jerusalem who had a perfect prophecy to the day and yet did not recognize that it was fulfilled in you. Jesus, we open our hearts to you today. We open our lives to you today. Jesus, would you come in? I want to stress again, if you have a hurt in your heart, if you have a bitter place in your life, if you have a pain, and you say, but I can't, it's so hard. I understand that, but let me tell you who understands it better than I do and better than you do, and that's Jesus, who carried his sorrows, our sorrows, on his shoulders, that we might have peace and that we might be made whole. Would you this morning, just in your heart, just say, Jesus, I don't know how to make this better, but I give it to you. And would you make it better? Would you make it better? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're just going to sing in response. We'll just a simple response to the Lord this morning. And then we'll close with just a few announcements. Just go ahead and start playing. I invite you to stand? We've been sitting a little while, right? Okay.
Sing this song. Jesus saves.
Hear the heart of heaven beating. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. The humble hearts adore.
Amen. Let me give you the benediction, and then we'll give you the announcements, right? Let's have the benediction now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Be seated for 2 minutes and then we'll make the announcements. Okay. Amen. Thank you. Lunch. Don't forget, I think by next, oh, thank you, Melrose. And then next week, I think, is our last day to sign up. If you have not yet signed up, need to sign up today or next week. Take a quick look. It'll be out at Hung Luk Yun. We'll let you know more later. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then we want to let you know, Melrose just reminded me, there's a huge stack of Christmas cards right here. Would you sign them today? And then we will send them out. It's to our pastors and the, sorry? We will send, thank you, Melrose. We will send them today. The post office person lied to Melrose. No, she misunderstood. She said, oh, you can send them out by the 12th and they will still arrive. And then Melrose went back and looked at the fine print and it was, you can send them out by the 2nd of December and they will arrive. So we're going to be late, but that's okay. Would you take some time at the end of the service to sign up for that? And then, two board members, please. Kim, Ida. We've got goodies right here. Come on up. I told you we were going to do different things, right? Go. I don't know why they're so shy. Up there, please. You need a, which one should wear the Santa Claus hat?
Kim.
Oh, there you go, Kim. Okay, Ida, don't worry. We have your name in there. We promise. You say, but I didn't write. That's okay. you need a. Okay.
Car family. She doesn't like chocolate, but me, I like it.
Oh, all families. Garcia.
Okay,
take out the gift card.
They're
not here.
No, he's here. Roy's right there.
Oh, Brother Roy.
Okay, next.
What is it? It's
cookies.
Lily Geranilia. Yay. Lily.
You got to use the microphone.
Oh, sorry.
There's a reason.
This is the Christmas.
What is it?
What's that?
It's pen.
Christmas bread.
I don't see anything. Oh, April.
Lisa Cher. Come here, Grandmutter.
I'm here. Thank you so much. Oh, my favorite. Thank you so much.
Dora, Micah, Jing, Jocelyn. Yes, yes. For you to share with each other.
All families.
Fakke's family. Chocolate, tea chocolate, I think. Oh, no, not tea. Pistache. Pistachio.
Okay.
Yeah. Is all? That's all. Have a nice week.
Gather, and then we'll go out. All right?
Yeah.